And a very fine evening to everybody out there in podcast land. It's a beautiful evening here in Chicago. Nice, cool fall weather, and it's just one of those weeks that it's just starting to feel like autumn. As I've probably mentioned on the show before, and so you probably already know, that autumn is my favorite season, so I like this cooling weather that we're starting to have now. Anyway, I should probably introduce myself. This is Tom Harris, and welcome to Tom Harris USA, episode number 40. Nice round number. Even though the shows that end with zero aren't anything special, they're not any kind of extra special content, they're really neat to reach those milestones, you know? And I remember episode 20 and 30, you know, like they were just a few months ago, which indeed they were. So welcome to episode number 40. So before I get started talking about the topics that I have planned to talk to you about, I have a very special announcement to make, and it's not probably what everyone is thinking, and it's not the sort of event that happens very often. So these things are notable and deserve a mention. So September 27th, which was just this past week, my brother David, who is 53, going to be 54 in a few months, he and his wife welcomed a new baby daughter. So I'm an uncle again. So how about that? How cool is that? So they have a little girl, and it's my brother David's first daughter. He has two grown sons from previous marriages who are both in their 30s now, and a young son who is six years old or so, who is his son with his current wife. And now they have a new baby daughter, Eleanor. Now, I'm not quite sure how to pronounce her name because they didn't spell it the same way as you would spell Eleanor in English, because they actually took a name from J.R.R. Tolkien. And I believe it's an Elvish name, which means star flower. So welcome to the world, Eleanor, and I don't think that David listens to the show, but you never know. So congratulations to Dave and Poonsop, his wife, and welcome to the world, Eleanor. So hopefully we'll have a new listener as soon as she gets old enough to listen to the program. So that was a piece of good news. I also, this week, have a not-so-good piece of news, though this was actually talked about on several shows in the past. This week was my last week of work. So as of earlier today, I'm officially unemployed. So today was my last day of work, and I've kind of held off on making the show. I started to record some bits and pieces last night, but I realized, you know, this topic is going to be a lot more interesting if I wait until after I finished my last day of work. And apparently I was expecting it to be a lot more eventful than it actually turned out to be, because in actuality, it was my last day, but it wasn't very exciting. It was just another day at work for the most part. The one big difference is that we had a lunch brought in from one of the restaurants, and that was nice, and as always, because I always like having lunch from our restaurants. But it really wasn't anything breathtaking or, you know, touching or sad, or, you know, nobody cried and made a big deal about it. I know that they feel bad that I've had to be laid off or let go or whatever you want to call it. But I'm not too concerned. I'm concerned but not worried, I guess is a good way of putting it. And I have actually started the job hunt already. I have resumes out there. I just sent a couple more off after getting home from work today. And I'm really kind of just starting the job hunt immediately. I'm going to take it easy for this next week, and I'm not going to stress out over anything. I'm going to enjoy having the time off and sleeping in, and then really start buckling down. I do have a little bit of severance pay coming, and that'll, you know, as long as I can find something in the next 2 or 3 months, I'll be happy. I'll be satisfied with that. And hopefully it'll happen sooner than that. In the meantime, I am going to do things like file for unemployment and so forth, like I was talking about before. So today was my last day of work, and it really was just another day. And I did have to go and kind of show my boss and coworkers kind of where I kept things and so forth. And they'll probably be calling me and asking me where things are for, you know, the next week or so. Hopefully not, but, you know, maybe they will. So there is one potential problem that I hope I'm not going to have to deal with. And it could affect the podcast. And that is, because I work in finance, and I work in accounting, and I work in bookkeeping, a lot of companies have no blog policies. And this is going to be more the bigger companies, you know, the larger corporations and so forth. And, you know, I don't want to be in the situation where I have to choose between, you know, a nice new job and doing the show. But I do want to say, you know, it is possible, because I work in the financial services industry, that I may need to stop doing the show. It does depend on a lot of factors, of course, and it depends on the employer and whether or not they have a no blog policy, because that's something that's becoming more and more common now, that people actually ask you, do you have a blog? And I know technically a podcast isn't a blog. But if somebody were to ask me, I don't think I would be able to keep that from them, because I think that the podcast is a big enough part of my life that eventually it would let slip and it could potentially cause some problems. Anyway, I'm very hopeful that that will not be an issue, and I'm hoping that nobody even asks about it. But if it does happen that, you know, I have a choice between, you know, a decent job and doing the show, well, you know, it's hard to say what I would pick. And presumably I would pick actually making a living. Well, you know, and that's just one of those possibilities that's kicking around, and I'm hoping it doesn't come to pass. Now, my current job, or I should say the job that I had until earlier today, they didn't have that kind of a policy. The blogs or podcasts or whatever, that's all fine with them. I just had to sign a contract of non-disclosure, so I'm not allowed to talk about specific financial dealings or professional dealings that the company has. And in fact, I have no reason to do so on the show. So as I talked about last time, I had my allowance, my house charge at the various restaurants. And Pete and I went out a couple of nights ago, and then Wednesday night we went out. Today being Friday. Wednesday night we went out to one of our restaurants and tried to spend the rest of my house charge. We were not successful. And the reason why is because, you know, it's just so much food. You know, you can go overboard and get a really expensive bottle of wine or whatever, but we didn't really want that. You know, we just kind of wanted a nice dinner. So we had a nice dinner where we had appetizers and we each had an entree and we each had a nice dessert. And by then we were so stuffed, there was no way we could have eaten anything else. But it was very nice. And I didn't use up my house charge. Not all of it anyway, but, and I did, you know, we did get lunch today from, one of our restaurants. So that was nice too. So anyway, yes, I am now officially unemployed. So I do have some comments before I start talking about what I was going to start about. And, have some Facebook comments from people in regards to the last episode. We have a comment from my boyfriend, Pete. Now, Pete doesn't listen to the show, and so he doesn't really know what I talked about in episode 39, but Pete had this to say: if you spend 20 minutes complaining about Inglourious Basterds again, we're not going to any more movies. Well, I didn't spend 20 minutes talking about it, but yeah, I think I probably spent 10 minutes complaining about the movie after we saw it and how I didn't think it really was very meaningful. I'm sure he's just kidding here. We are actually thinking about going to see Astro Boy when that comes out. We don't see that many movies, but we do see them every once in a while. But I do want to see Astro Boy, and it looks like it's going to be kind of a cool movie. And speaking of other things, we're going to go see in November, I believe it is, we're going to go see the new Addams Family musical, which is premiering here in Chicago, and it stars Nathan Lane, I presume he's starring as Gomez, and Bebe Neuwirth as Morticia. So that ought to be really interesting. I'm hoping it's going to be good. I'm not a huge fan of musicals, but, you know, when Spamalot opened in Chicago, it was the precursor to opening everywhere else in the world. And so it's kind of cool to be able to go see shows sometimes before they hit Broadway, before they become, you know, the big hits and become... And the Addams Family looks like it might be kind of fun. So we're going to go see that, and I think that's in November. Also commenting on episode number 39, we have Doug in Akeley, Iowa, another unemployed person. So Doug and I are now comrades in unemployment. Hooray! Well, hopefully we'll both find something soon. I was talking about the Beatles box set, and I was talking about mono versus stereo. Doug had this to say. He says, stereo recordings may not be an accurate reproduction also, because the recording engineer is able to put the singers and instruments just about anywhere in the stereo stage where they want to. And he puts in parentheses, I miss the ping pong effects of the 60s and 70s. I remember that. That was sometimes interesting. And you really only could hear that, as I recall, you could really only hear most of that when you're wearing headphones. Now, I wear headphones, you know, obviously when I'm wearing the headset, you know, when I do the show. But I don't usually listen to music in headphones anymore. So I bet if I were to go back and listen to a few things, you know, you could get that. The one song that I really remember that used that ping pong effect was The Way to Travel by the Moody Blues. I remember that one. That was off their album In Search of the Lost Chord, having the back and forth stereo. Yeah, that was kind of cool, really. I don't know. Do people still use that? I don't know. But I do still want to get that the Beatles set and hopefully. My birthday's coming up soon, and Pete has actually talked about getting it for me. But who knows? You know, if he doesn't get it for me, then I'll end up getting it for myself. You know, actually, this is kind of weird because there's one person in particular who I expected to hear talking about this discussion of the new Beatles remixes and, you know, the stereo versus the mono. Then there's a conspicuous voice missing, and that is Richard, who has contributed to the show in the past. Richard, what do you think of the new Beatles remixes? I'd like to hear that. And as always, you can contact me at the email address for the show, which is tom@tomharrisusa.com, or you can send me a message on Facebook. Doug goes on to say that he remembers finding Beatles albums at garage sales for like 50 cents each when he was a little kid. Yeah, well, you know, there were a lot of those out there, too. The first pressings of those Capitol Beatle albums were worth a lot of money at one time, but I don't know. You know, I don't know what the vinyl collector's market is like nowadays. I mean, I haven't bought an LP for, you know, 15 years. So I really don't know. And I gave up LPs late. I was one of those who didn't embrace CDs fully until the early 90s. I think I did buy a vinyl record album in 2000, but it was something that has never been released on CD. Unfortunately, and my problem is, I have a lot of records, yeah, probably 400 or 500 records, but I have no way to listen to them. So it's not... Yeah, they're kind of buried in the closet underneath a bunch of other stuff. But I just haven't felt like I wanted to invest in a turntable and a mixer and a tuner and all that, and, you know, speakers that are... I know you can get turntables that you can hook up to a computer, like with a USB cable. And I suppose that would be something that'd be cool to have, but... On one hand, I don't really have any place to put it. The turntable would have to be right next to the computer. And I really don't have any place to put it other than this little side table where the computer printer is and the scanner. And there really isn't any room on there for something like as big as a turntable. But who knows? I mean, someday, yeah, I would really like to see And I know that the technology exists because I know it's been patented, because it was something I looked into to as a potential invention. I thought, you know, wouldn't it be cool if? And what I came up with was a player for vinyl LPs, and you could even put like wax records and 78s or whatever in it, and it would be a player for LPs or records that played the LPs using a laser rather than a needle. And that way you could avoid things like skips and extraneous noise. But I did find out that such a thing already does exist, but it's very, very expensive. It's not really something that's affordable for the average buyer. So I think that's a really cool idea. If the technology ever gets to a point when it would be feasible to do, I think that would be a really cool thing to get, because then you wouldn't wear your records out. You could play them forever. So thank you very much for your comments, Doug. I hope to hear from you again in the very near future. So for those of you who may be wondering why my interview on American Talk USA has not appeared yet, the reason why it hasn't appeared yet is because Joe had a major internet problem in his house last week and has not been able to yet find the time to edit the interview down. And we recorded about 45 minutes of interview, and he needs to cut that down to about 30 minutes. And that shouldn't be too much of a problem, because I think we rambled a lot and there's a lot of stuff that could be cut out. But it was a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to hearing the final version of that. If you want to hear the version of that, keep an eye on AmericanTalkUSA.com, and it should be this coming week. We'll see, though, because, you know, anything can happen in podcasting. But what was really interesting is that originally the plan was I was going to go on his show and talk about my trip. And that didn't happen. We talked about everything but my trip. But that's okay. You know, it was interesting because Joe did a show this past week, and it seemed to be kind of, I don't know, hurriedly put together. But I thought the show was endlessly fascinating. He did a combination video and audio show, because they had some sort of a snafu and Audacity crashed, and what a pain in the butt that is. I hate it when Audacity crashes, and unfortunately it's a free software, so sometimes it can be unstable. But he did quite a lot of talking about hiking. In fact, in the video portion of the show, he did two short videos of him on the actual Appalachian Trail. Because there's an area of the Appalachian Trail that kind of runs right by the area where he lives. He has a number of little sections near him that he can actually hike. So how lucky is he? I know I've said on the show before, I love hiking, but I don't have any place near here that's really very good. And it's all very flat here because it's a prairie. Anyway, you know, the Appalachian Trail is one of those dream trails for me. I'd love to do a through hike of the Appalachian Trail, starting in Maine and ending in Georgia. I think normally people do it the other way around. I'm not really sure about that. But I think that would be a really, really interesting experience to do that. The problem, of course, comes that you really need a sizable chunk of time to put aside. So you have to have the means to do it. And at this point in time in my life, I don't have the means to do it. Maybe if I win the lottery. But I've had an interest in long-distance hiking for a long time. I think that, you know, my mother could probably vouch for that. And, you know, back when I was a teenager, I wanted to hike across Europe. I wanted to hike across the Alps. The closest I've come to that dream was actually when I was in Austria in 1996. I climbed an Alp. Anyway, the Alp in question was the Hefelekar, which is a mountain which is just across the river from downtown Innsbruck. And by the way, Innsbruck is a beautiful, beautiful little town. And if people want to hear about my sort of adventures in Europe, I'd be more than happy to talk about that. One of the reasons I haven't talked about it is because I don't know how interesting people would find it. Though I have to say, judging from the downloads, people do enjoy when I talk about the travel stuff. So if people want to hear about it, I'd be more than happy to discuss it. Anyway, there was a choice of three trails up the Hefelekar. There was an easy trail, which was supposed to take about 6 hours, and then the medium trail, which is supposed to take about 4 hours, and then the hard trail, which is supposed to take 2 hours. And for somebody in the physical condition I was in, the hard trail and the medium trail took about the same amount of time. So when I went up the mountain, it was sort of a combination of the medium trail and the hard trail. I kind of would do the medium trail for part of it and then go to the hard trail for a few hundred yards and then go to the medium trail again. And it took about 3 hours to get up to the top. And absolutely beautiful views from up there. It was just gorgeous up there, and you get this beautiful view of Innsbruck if it's not too cloudy. And I had a problem with clouds coming in. And after a while, the entire top of the mountain was covered in clouds, so I had to go down. And that was one of several of these mountain hikes that I've done. The other notable one, I'm going to say, was the Schilthorn, and that is in Switzerland, near a little town called Gimmelwald. And I didn't hike up the mountain in that case. In that case, there was a cable car that went up to the top of the mountain. And the mountain is known for having appeared in the James Bond film Goldfinger. I think it was Goldfinger. And they had the villain's hideout was this funny round house at the top of the mountain. Well, that building actually exists, and it's not a house. It's actually a ski lodge, a tourist attraction with a restaurant, and they showed the movie that was filmed up there and so forth. And at the end of that movie, they blow it up, which is kind of fun. But I did go up to the top of the Schilthorn on the cable car, and then I hiked down the mountain because Gimmelwald is about 3/4 of the way down into the valley. And that was another very interesting hike. I do like these little short hikes, but for some reason, the long distance hikes seem to be more appealing. Maybe because it's less strenuous to do a hike across something than up something. Maybe that's what it is, and maybe I'm just lazy that way. But there are a few hikes that I've done that have been fairly long, and they kind of gave me the taste for it. And the first one I did was in 1994, and this was something that Paul and I did. Paul's the same person who I went to England with just a few weeks ago. And it's called the Karhunkeros, which is the Bear's Ring in Finnish. And that's up in Lapland. That's way, way north, just barely south of the Arctic Circle. And as you might imagine, it's a beautiful area up there. It's not cold. At least it wasn't cold when we were there. We went during the summer, and it was very, very temperate. And in fact, it was rather warm on most of the days. We saw lots and lots of wildlife, lots of reindeer, just an enormous amount of beauty up there. And it was a fantastic, fantastic hike. It's about 50 miles. It's not really a circle. It's called the Bear's Ring, but it's kind of like a big reverse letter C. It takes about 5 days to do it, and we would stop and camp every night. And the mountains, they're called the Carpathian Mountains. They're not real big by mountain standards. They're probably equivalent to the Appalachians, and maybe not even that big. But from the tops of some of the mountains, you can see as far as the Russian border. So that should give you some idea of where that general area is. Beautiful, beautiful country up there. Then the next one I did that was a long-distance hike was the Rotherwegen. And that's actually a trail that is very long, but I only did a short section of it, the most interesting section of it. Now the trail starts in Oslo and ends in Bergen on the coast. So you could actually hike all the way across Norway on this trail. And it follows the path of the railway. And the reason for that is that it was built by the people who built the railway. So that's the road that they used to go back and forth as they were building the railway. But the most interesting part of it is right sort of smack in the middle. And this is in the Hardanger region of Norway, which in the past, of course, was dominated by Hardangerjökull, which was one of the large glaciers in Norway, which unfortunately has a lot of that is gone now. If you remember the film The Empire Strikes Back, the Star Wars sequel, they filmed the ice planet of Hoth scenes up there on that glacier. And unfortunately, because of climate change, the glacier has actually receded quite a bit. And I don't know if you're actually allowed to do anything like that up there now. But the path goes between a little town called Finse, which is right near the glacier, and the coastal town of Flom, and that's about 21 or 22 miles. It's not a huge distance, but you're going over mountains, so it is kind of far. And in between, there's a town called Myrdal, which is actually just about 5 miles from the end of the trail. But there's a very, very steep climb down or up from Flom to Myrdal. And there's a very famous railway, a mountain railway that goes down to Flom, which is called the Flom Railway. And anyway, the weather wasn't really participating in my hike. It was not giving me an easy time of it. And the first day I had nice weather, and I stopped halfway through the night and stayed at a hostel, because there's a hostel along the way. And then was to make the rest of the hike the next day. Unfortunately, about two-thirds into the next day, it started pouring down rain, and I didn't have any kind of waterproof gear or anything. So I was forced to stop in Myrdal and take the train back to Oslo, unfortunately. But I would like to complete that trip one day, maybe even go all the way to Bergen. I think that would be a pretty exciting trip. So those are really the kind of the long-distance trails I've done. I've talked about the South Downs Way. I did that in 2005. And then, of course, the Hadrian's Wall Path this year. And maybe in the future I'll do some others. Now, there's several that I want to do. Oh, I forgot about one. I did a 2 days' worth of hiking on the Western Way in Ireland. Forgot about that. And that was actually, the first day was about 14 miles, and the second day was over 20. And I was just a wreck at the end of that second day. I could barely move. I didn't have time to go any further, but even if I did have time, I would have not have been in any shape to do it. That was between Oterard in Galway and Lanann, which is in Connemara, and there's the halfway point, which is Mome, which is where I stayed the night, and that's a beautiful trail as well. I just like these long distance trails, but there's a few that I'd like to do in addition to the Appalachian Trail. I'd like to do the Cornwall Coastal Path, which takes about 2 weeks to do, and it, as the name implies, goes along the coast in Cornwall in the southwest of England. The Pembrokeshire Coastal Path, same thing, except it's in South Wales. The Pennine Way, which I talked about a little bit because we crossed it as we were going on the Hadrian's Wall Path, which is a north-south path through the Pennine Mountains in northern England. And the Superior Path, which is actually in northern Wisconsin and the North Peninsula of Michigan. The Lake Superior Path. I really would like to do that one. That's something that's not too far from home, and actually will probably be the next long distance path I do. Who knows? But those things are something. You know, those are just a few of the places I'd like to hike. Basically, any of them, any of the interesting long distance hikes. So if people have any suggestions, they can feel free to comment. The email address for the show, once again, is tom@tomharrisusa.com. I love hearing from people. And I'm going to go ahead and wrap up the show. It's about that time. So thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time in episode number 41. This is Tom Harris from Tom Harris USA signing off. Have a great evening, everyone.